Welcome back to Footsteps in the Attic. This is the Extraordinary People episode, and my guest tonight is just that. She is one of my dearest friends, and she lives an extraordinary life. We first met on the set of Spider-Man 3 as extras, and she's also worked with me on several film projects that we collaborated on, including the short film George and the web series The Brim Sessions. She is originally from France, and she is internationally renowned as a model, but she's also a life coach, a Reiki healer, and happens to be the author of the new children's book, Odette's Alphabet. Please welcome to the show the beautiful Sandrine Marlier. Sandrine, how are you? I am wonderful, and I'm honored to have you on.
You're wonderful. I could not agree more.
You are phenomenal. You know how much you've meant to me all these years. We've been such good friends. You were very pivotal in my time living in New York. You were always my beacon of light, so I am thrilled to have you here.
God, I am so happy. You have been my beacon of creativity and all things weird and spooky, and allowing me to express all the parts of me I have frankly never made space to express. So it was as pure for me as it was for you.
You grew up in France. So tell me where exactly in France you grew up for the benefit of the audience, and what kind of a kid were you growing up?
Scratching my beard, my imaginary beard right now. So I first grew up in the Loire Valley. If some people know about racing, there's this town called Le Mans, the 24 hours of Le Mans, so I was born there and then moved to different towns, small towns, in the Loire, and then we moved to Normandy for when I went to high school and college. And then at my last year of college, I went to England and I was like, Mom, this is it. I'm sorry to tell you, but I found my people. The Brits are more funny and I feel more funny over there, and I'm never going back to France.
Wow, you just declared it. That is amazing. And then, so how did you get into modeling and then ultimately New York?
Right. So that actually feels very supernatural. So I'm in the right audience.
You sure are, yes.
Thanks. You know Joan of Arc?
Yes.
Yeah, so that was kind of that for me, except that I did not save the world, I just saved myself.
Oh, I like that.
I was going to be an English teacher. And I was a school assistant in the Channel Islands. And I went backpacking for a year because I didn't know what to do. So I gave myself some time. And during that year, I knew it was growing. I knew I did not want to teach that traditional way in a classroom with like 32 kids. And I would have to spend half of the time managing that. Like, I love teaching literature, civilization, being with the kids. But the structure wasn't for me. And the only voice that was coming up was try modeling, give modeling a try. Yeah. When I was younger, I had been approached a few times and my mom always said no. And then I got deep into my studies, so I did not care about it. But I guess it kind of stayed and the voice grew louder and louder. And then I was like, in New Zealand, I had a work permit that I applied for. And I was broke and I was breaking up with my boyfriend. And I thought, well, if I don't do it now, I'll never do it, and I don't want to live with regret. So I gave it a try then.
Wow. And then it kind of wrote it.
It worked out pretty good.
I'd say really well. For those of you who don't know, Sandrine has been, I mean, you name it in the modeling world, you've done it. You've been on the billboards. You've been in the magazines. You've been on television. Yeah.
Not high fashion, you know, but like, I've had a good run and I'm still doing it, which is amazing after like 20 years.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's been fun and amazing. Yeah.
Well, one thing, One thing that always stuck out to me was there's two paths you can kind of take in the modeling world, and there's one road where everything's kind of, it's like a fast kind of like party life, and then there's those who go your route, and I find that very inspiring because you kind of never took that other route, if you know what I mean. Like the
Yeah.
you've lived a very you kind of you're very structured and you're grounded and you had life goals that you wanted to achieve. And what
Yeah.
kind of kept you on that right path? Because I'm sure you got offered a lot of things on your journey as you were modeling. So what kept you on that straight path?
Actually, like modeling, I have had such a different experience. First, I started later. I was 23 when I started modeling. And it had, my experience with modeling has been healing. And not many people could say that. I think it's because I started later. It's been really healing. It's been challenging me. I had to, forcing yourself to, it doesn't matter what you look like. If your mindset is not there and you're not accepting yourself. And with modeling, I sort of had to fake it till I made it. And then I met amazing people that were interested in the spiritual world and in healing and things like that. The people who influenced me on the other path were actually, had nothing to do with fashion. And I was lucky when I began that some male models told me, we've been doing this thing for a long time. I was just beginning. And they were like, if we had one advice, just go straight for like the money, commercial side, and there's no drama there. And that's what I did. I never went to the fashion side.
That's
And
smart.
so there was very little drama in where I went. It was more like teamwork. And I'm a good team player and I love being in a team. And that's really how it felt. And when I find my market in New York, it was so much healthier than in France because you were respected, you felt part of a team, there was like more structure. And after 2 years of like not doing anything while modeling, it felt depressing because you can't appreciate what you have. There was nothing to contrast it with. I don't know. So I started taking, doing workshops and learning, and I never stopped. I always was learning and studying something. And I found for me, it was really the path was to be able to enjoy modeling and all the fun of that life. I had to ground myself in some like deeper studies that had meaning and purpose for me. Yeah, so that's what worked.
Well, one thing I always loved about you is you kind of hit the nail on the head. You've always like jumped in. Anything we were talking about, whether it was writing, like you were in there. You were the first one to be like, "Yeah, let's do this." You were always like enthusiastic, and you like Sandrine and
Same we chose for our writing group.
I was just gonna say that. Like you and I formed our own little writing circle, and we would meet and regularly and read our stuff, and that's where a lot of like crazy creative stuff happened. A lot of work came out of those meetings.
Sinkhole for the sinkholes that were happening in Florida.
Yes, we called it like sinkhole because there were a lot of like these strange sinkholes that were
Yes,
popping up in the
it was
news.
awful.
Yeah, right? Remember that?
We even thought about stopping the name because we felt we were manifesting more sinkholes.
And she and Sandrine and I would write little short films, and we would end up producing them, and we had a blast. We really did.
I told you, I watched recently George, and it was so weird and awesome and interesting. I showed it to my neighbors, and they just looked at me with these big eyes. They were like, "This is weird and creepy, and I love
And just for those of you who didn't see it, I was pretty much the weird and creepy guy in it, so I take that as
You
a
played it so well,
high
though.
compliment. Well, it was well written, so that goes to
And then the brim sessions. Can people still see the brim session? Is
you.
it on Vimeo? Where is it?
Well, that's a nice plug. Yes, they can still see the Brim Sessions, this YouTube series that I wrote. It's got a what do we say, a demonic twist to it.
Brilliant.
Sandrine was in every single installment, and she was wonderful. And that was one of my favorite creative projects.
I love this. If you like this twist on the good and the bad, and I love the twist. We can't say anything about it. The Grim Sessions, fantastic.
They got to check it out. And by the way, the scenery was completely donated by Sandrine herself, because I took over her apartment every time, and she graciously allowed me to, which I will always be in debt to her.
After you had to
it was a tradition to have you in every single one. I had to. You were wonderful. So let me ask you, from these creative fests, and then you start getting into the world of Reiki and studying Reiki. Tell the audience what is Reiki exactly, and how does it work? Because there's definitely spiritual elements happening in the world of Reiki. So, what is it for somebody who wouldn't know Reiki?
Reiki is energy. So, the energy that is, somebody walks in the room, and you're like, ooh, the energy is weird here.
Yeah.
You sense it's heavy, you can't really put your name. That's energy, which is in everything, in every living thing, in the plants, the energy from the sun, from the moon, from the ocean. And inside us, we have masculine and feminine energy. So all of this, and for me, that is the garden spirits and angels, and that's our representations for it. Reiki is a modality, meaning it's a way to channel energy for certain purpose, to heal and empower, energize, clear somebody else's energy.
Wow. Yes.
It's a modality. It's just a way. It's a structure. It's a form.
But there's definitely this high spiritual element, because you can literally scan people's bodies with your hands and pick up the negative spots. And people during these sessions actually will feel cold sensations, hot, and you're not even physically touching them. You're just scanning them.
Well, yeah, you can do both. You can do it. I give Reiki by distance, and I give it in person. You can touch, but you have, many people now are familiar with the chakras, those energy centers, main ones. There are tons of energy centers in the body, and they run along meridians, which you find in acupuncture. More people are familiar with acupuncture. And Reiki also uses the meridian points. So does tapping techniques, all of that. We're trying to find the quickest, easiest way to channel our energy, to clear ourselves from constrictions in the body, what creates dis-ease, literally disease, when it's not flowing. We're resisting things. And it can be emotional, physical, spiritual. And the aim is to clear, remove those obstacles, and then to energize and re-empower it.
Wow. I'm fascinated by it, because it really is the flow of I don't know how to describe it, kind of your life force. And so if you feel dragged down, something may be blocking you. And that's where somebody like yourself can come in. Somebody can book a session with you, and you can help them transfer those energies where they need to go.
Yeah. And explore, mostly we have also limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
And it all starts with our belief. And it's so important to know our beliefs are just beliefs. Don't hold this as the truth. So let it go.
Wow.
What you believe in will induce feelings, which will spring you to take action.
Wow.
Right? So you can find yourself in a vicious circle, or find yourself in a virtuous circle, depending on your beliefs. But if you go back and dare to explore what is it that you're believing, and try to reframe it, because if it's not working, you're not taking actions that are serving you, and your feeling seems to be then your spirit, your energy about it is going to be the same. It's consistent.
Yeah.
And something else that creates discord is when there's misalignment. Maybe you're not aware you're having those negative feelings, but you keep taking those positive actions, and you're trying really to have those feelings. But if your belief is not aligned with it, then things are not flowing, and you're not manifesting, definitely.
Wow. Would you say in general, what is that? What holds most people back is they start believing in these things that are not really true, and then they hold them, and that's what keeps them from fulfilling whatever dream or goal that they might have.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's not that they start believing; they're picking up the beliefs of society, of their parents. It's a conditioning. And by not questioning it, you don't give yourself the choice to choose a different belief.
Wow.
That's serving you. So we go about in life like, yeah, that's what I think, that's what it is, that's what my parents say, then that's just that.
Yeah.
But it's very inflexible. And the only thing that really interests me at the end is to be happy, to be at peace.
Yeah.
And the only question is this working for you? If it's not working for you, why are you attached to it? Hence all those philosophies, you know, non-attachment, letting go.
I love that.
It's not working for you. It's not serving you. Let it go. It's as simple as that.
I love that.
It's a practice. Yeah, but I would say it's those beliefs we need to reframe. Simply reframing a situation, the first thing is neutralize it, observe it, just say for what it is instead of coming with your judgment about it. That's already going to change everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love, for instance,
you know, what an asshole, he was late. Pardon my French.
Yeah.
It's the evening. My daughter is sleeping. I can curse.
Yes, you can. You can curse all you want.
Don't do what I say. Don't do what I do. Because there is a purpose to cursing. Because it's a form of release as well. And we need to release that pent up tension, pressure to, you know, want to be perfect. And actually, cursing releases it. So that's okay.
Wow. There you go.
With intention. Where was I going?
I don't know, but I liked it a lot. I like what you were saying. letting things go. And I love that simple sentence of, if it's not working for you, change it. Yeah, let it go. Change it. I mean, no matter what you're going through. Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, like, be willing to explore where this comes from and what's behind it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So this guy, he's late. Well, neutralize it and go back to the facts. If there was a camera in the room and that's all what the audience would see, not the context, not what you think people are perceiving, where you're coming from. If there was a camera in the room, how would you describe it? It was 7 p.m. and we said we would meet at 6 and he came at 7 p.m.
Right.
You're neutralizing it already.
Wow. That's so true. That is so true.
So reframe, that's just the first step of reframing. But yes, I think it's those beliefs that we hold for so true that we're inflexible to look at another way. And so it makes us lack the perspective. And we're at our best when we're relaxed, so then we can be creative. We find creative solutions to things. So when we're so entrenched in our beliefs, we're not creative, we're not flexible, and we're not having perspective.
I love that. And somebody out there is listening to this and going through exactly what we're talking about. And I hope that they hear these words and tweak a few things in their life. And one thing I know that you were a pioneer of, as I've known you all these years, is visualization. And you would keep a vision board. And you were one of those people. You had the whole cork. I remember you had the cork. You had the cork door in your apartment. And it was littered with everything you wanted to visualize and everything you wanted to accomplish.
And guess what? It happened.
It did. That's where I was going.
I got my dream girl.
You sure did. So, for those of you.
I'm Hemingway, but I wrote two books and I'm coaching.
Yeah.
I don't know what my image for it, but.
Yeah, I want to add some context to that, because she would, on the back of her door, she had this little girl, the silhouette of a little girl. She had this dream garden that she wanted, and Sandrine wanted to publish a book. Now we're two books into it. We are. She has a beautiful little girl, Emma, and she has her beautiful oasis in her own building, which she now owns.
And I'm making garden, I'm designing garden for two other friends right now.
That's what, that's incredible to me. So that's going above and beyond the vision board. And that's why I think you're the perfect person for people to look at and say, wow, this thing works and this is possible.
Focus, like being clear-minded, clarity is power. It's not from me. And being clear-minded on what is it that we want. And then you make a strategy, how am I going to get what I want? So many of us go through life without exactly knowing what we want, but doing the things that we feel we should be doing.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're all different. Like, someone's passions and way of life is not yours, is not mine. That's not what makes you happy. Some people are fulfilled having a family and a house and a car, and that's what they want. And for some other people, it's a nightmare. So why would you do that to yourself?
Right, right.
You know? But you got to be honest at first and own it. Own what you want.
And exactly. And may I ask you, you know, like, for instance, what's the book? The Secret is about visualizing. But I think where you take the necessary spin on that is it's more about than just visualizing. It's putting action behind it and being very clear about what it is. And I think you just hit upon that. Like, we all don't want the exact same thing, but it's important to take those steps to get to that picture that we have. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not going to all happen. Like, nobody's going to come knock on the door and say, ta-da.
Right.
The dream person of your life is your dream garden.
But right.
I personally believe in co-creation. There is divine intelligence so beyond us. And I experience it every day when I'm giving Reiki and I hear all those different messages, people's bodies talking to me, angels, spirits, whatever we want to call it. I have infinite respect, adoration for it, because it's so smart. And we get to co-create. It's a collaboration. It's teamwork.
Wow.
So when you connect to what you want, but you let the spirit talk through you, also asking, like, what is my purpose here? I want to serve. And you let those two things blend together. Now, you've got something really powerful that comes out of that part of what you want and who you are and what you're meant to be doing here. And then you have to take the action. That doesn't mean you're going to be alone. You're still going to be supported if you choose to.
Wow.
First, by the people around you, you start attracting more people who think like you, who are going to help you on the path. And in a way, it's not so important for me to know where is this coming from. But I know it's there, because otherwise I would be crazy. I don't think I'm crazy. That's the only alternative, I think. I remember my philosophy teacher saying, well, if you think and question if you are, you probably are not.
Right.
And I question it a lot.
You mentioned philosophy. Is there a quote that you live by, or certain quotes that come to mind that kind of get you through rough patches?
I don't know. Like, back then, I remember my philosophy then was, live your life. Like, be happy as long as you're not hurting anyone.
Yeah.
That's the only rule I put, which, like, here in America, there's a saying, like, well, it's not American, but your freedom ends where another person's freedom begins.
Right.
Something like that, right?
Right, right.
So I think there's a bit of that. I don't know, this thing about know your beliefs, not just beliefs, I think it is powerful, because we lack so much tolerance
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's so obvious these days, like crisis and fires everywhere because of this intolerance for other people to just be, have your thoughts. Like, it's on transgender, it's everywhere on everything, so much intolerance in the world. So that thing alone for me in terms of philosophy to believe what you want to believe, but no, remember, those are just beliefs. And everybody has their own as well. Don't try to put on your world's perspective on another.
Well, let me ask you something. So you have this idea in your head.
Yeah.
About an ant. And the ant's name is Odette. And
Odette. Good old Odette.
So
that's
let's.
My middle name, by the way.
I love that. Wait, say that again.
It's my middle name.
Perfect. Look at that. So there's a little spoiler for those of you wondering.
My grandma's name. Spoiler alert. Sorry.
So let's talk about Odette's alphabet. Where did you first get the notion to want to write this children's book and talk about the journey of making it a reality?
I don't completely know. It was like, so Odette started, I was in a makeup chair in Atlanta, and there was, and we were talking about our middle name, actually, and there was a little ant walking on the windowsill, and she looked so cute, and I just named her Odette in my head. And I had started taking a class for drawing on the right side of your brain, and I doodled her, Odette. And then it was like such a period of expansion for like a couple of years. I was into different workshops and stuff, and so I discovered coaching for transformation, and I was enrolled in a meditation teacher program. And at the end of that program, that was a week in person in California, I wanted to kind of sum up all the teachings I had been receiving for the past 3 months. And I drew Odette, the ant, and the first thing I did was write the letter A, like as if she was screaming it out of a speakerphone. And because the way, so it's like, it is a belief, so take it or leave it, that the world was manifested through sounds. And A being the first letter of the alphabet in every language and the first sound. And in the sound OM, it's decomposed as A-U-M. A-U-M, A-U-M. So I wrote A because there was Odette manifesting herself in the world. And then I was dating this awesome guy who's a movie maker. And I showed him that. And he was, oh, you're writing a children's book on the alphabet. Uh-huh. I'm so not, but now I so am.
But that planted the seed.
So that's how it came. I never intended it to become a children's book. At first, it actually was a very, like, way more mature drawings. I was just sketching it. I don't have the skills. So I hired this amazing illustrator, you know, who was just a joy and blessing to work with. He just got my idea and just put it in images. It was amazing. But it was a constant collaboration of, like, the drawing kind of helped me with the storyline, but it was very more grown up, a little bit like The Little Prince.
Yeah.
And then later on, as I refined the story, and then I started adding the mindful activities for each of the letters that were a mindful concept. And at the same time, I got pregnant, I had my girl, so it became even more important that, like, what would be, you know, my legacy? What are those lessons that we want to leave our children? And I wasn't raised any religion. So, and I feel we're missing something in terms of, like, connecting with our children to pass on some morals, some big concepts. So that was kind of like my thing, Odette, was to capture important life lessons that I would want for my little girl to know.
Wow. And that is something that you really attacked full on. Like, you threw yourself into this. You didn't just make it a notion. You really did the research and you made this children's book a reality, because this isn't something that just happened over a few weeks. You've spent a long time getting this book to where you need it to be.
That's right. It stayed in like drawers for months and months and months.
Yeah.
And then once a year I would pick it up and be like, oh, we should do something about it. And then I would add stuff to it. And then finally I put it out in the open with friends and got some feedback and changed the storyline. Because at first Odette wasn't coming back to the colony. And it actually was very important that she comes back to the colony.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I really wanted my the heroes, because that's life, you know. Of course, there's a hero and a sort of anti-hero, a sidekick, right, like Batman and Robin. And that's Marcus the Mouse, but I wanted him to also be the main character. So we have two main characters, sort of crosses, because that's how it is in life.
Yeah.
You know, maybe at some point you're there for your friend and you're helping and guiding them. And the next thing you know, you need help. And they are taking that turn and being there for you. And that's true friendship. And and that's what's happening for Odette and Marcus. They are there for each other in different ways.
Wow. And it's just like, it's very inspiring to me, because as you know, like, I have ideas for books. And you are somebody who, you made it happen.
Ideas.
Thank you so much. But you are very inspiring to me, because you didn't just make it disappear. You really did the research. You did the crowdfunding. You did the work with the publishers. You did the work with the illustrators. And for somebody out there that has that idea, how many people let ideas like that just go? They go, yeah, I want to do that one day. I should do that one day. And they never do. And then you come along and you go, yeah, I have this idea. And guess what? Yeah. I'm doing it. And now it's here.
Like you with your podcast. Your session.
Well, thank you.
Of like, you build on smaller experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And that builds confidence.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, we did George. We did the Grim Sessions. Those were smaller projects. You build with that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun. And in your eyes, it is a success. And you did it. Mm-hmm. We did it from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Small production, but like, you got the videographer, you edited it, you promoted it. Like, I got to see the whole range of the process. So it's just that at like a sort of longer scale, like a little more patience was required, because it could not happen so fast. I did not want to self-publish, so I knew it was going to take longer. But I could really have sped up the process, which I think you would, by promoting and, but it is one constant that the reason why we don't pursue is back to the beliefs.
Yeah. And yeah.
The work I do when I coach people is working on this confidence. You build confidence. It's not something we're born with.
Right.
Those who have it seems naturally, is because their parents brought that in them. We're not born with confidence, unless, you know, some people can like come and crush it. It's a skill. And if you were not raised that way, you have to build the skill.
That's really profound. That's really profound. People really need to hear that. It's a skill and you have to learn it. That's
skill. Accept that. You know, it takes courage. You have to accept you're going to fail. And kids at the beginning, they fail all the time, and that's how they're learning. We would never have learned to walk if we did not trip. No kid is like, oh, what? I fell on my butt. I am never walking again.
Right, right.
That would be ridiculous. And yet this is what we do as grown-ups. So we don't follow on this project because maybe we tried but did not give it fully, because we were scared we're going to be rejected and what people were going to think about it. So we have to be comfortable being uncomfortable, because what's at stake is our happiness. Because when you're not living your true passion and following on your dreams, at the end of your life, you're going to regret it.
So
I like to call it start from the end. At the end of your life, how do you want to feel? Start with the feeling, not the things, not the house, the car, who cares? Start, how do you want to feel? Identify those feelings. Walk back. what are you going to do to feel this way? Okay. Well, if writing that book is going to make you feel this way, then yes, you better write this book then.
That is amazing. I always call that like my tombstone moment, because you think, I think of that visualization of like, there's a tombstone on a mound, and what's somebody that's looking at my tombstone going to say? What are they going to remember about me? And people can, what's that?
I'm so curious what you would have on your tombstone.
Oh, you know, it's going to be something ridiculous when that happens. I'm going to have something silly and wacky and absurd, because that's the way I live my life. And I want somebody to laugh when they read it.
Wait, what was the thing about weird? Like, be weird? What did you say?
Yeah, stay weird.
Stay weird.
That might be it. But see, some people might take that visualization and go, oh, well, that's kind of morbid. But no, that's the thing that pushes me to go and do the things that I want to do. Because I keep that in my head. I go, no, I don't want to leave this earth without having done this, this, or this, or at least tried.
Gosh. And that's actually... Not only is it not weird, it's very profound, because it is this philosophy of oneness where we bring all our emotions, our feelings, all in one place. You validate every emotion you have. You don't push them and suppress them.
Yeah.
This is what creates the most suffering, is suppressing emotions. Oh, I'll deal with this later. No, you know what? You're feeling this right now. Feel it.
Yeah.
Feel your feelings. Let this be your teacher. Let this be your fuel for transformation. But feel it. The anger is healthy when expressed healthily. And so is the sadness. Like, it's all in the contrast. But the worse we do, where we create suffering and then resentment, and then we're disappointed and sad.
Yeah.
Because we did not make room for them. And I feel the same way about, yeah, if you have a weird thought, like, explore that. What is this about? What is there? And you're deep. There's nothing. I mean, what do we call weird? What is it really?
Right.
What is weird? Just is not like everybody else.
Which I love.
It's unique.
I don't want to be like anybody else.
Yeah, that's the sacred in you. What if the weird was actually the sacred in you?
Boom. I love. See, this is
you're
why.
Like a walking god.
This is why I love you. You get me, and you get how people should be.
Just be you.
Yes.
Stay weird.
Stay weird.
What makes you unique and so you? There's, you know, something that was profound for me when I read that. There is no one else like you, nor has there ever been, nor will there ever be anyone like you.
I think more people need to remember that. I really do. I think people forget that they were created for a reason.
There's no one else like you. You got a special light, and you got to shine it.
Oh, yes. Say that again.
You have a special, but more than special, you have a unique light, unique perspective, and shine it. This is what you're here on this planet to do, shine your light. And together, we all shine brighter. It's like, you know, all the stars in the sky. One star shining bright doesn't take away the brightness of another star and makes it shine brighter.
Look at that. I have to tell you, you're such a dear, dear friend, and I love you so much. I know that there's people out there who want to hear more, and they want to accomplish maybe that goal that they haven't accomplished yet, or they want to reprogram their brain to think a different way. Where can people get a hold of you for some life coaching? Where can people find you, and where can people pick up Odette's Alphabet?
Okay. Thank you so much for that.
Absolutely.
You can go for Odette's Alphabet. You can simply go on Amazon or BarnesandNobles.com. and other retailers, but that's the easiest, Odette's Alphabet. And if you love it, leave a review on Amazon is the best way to support writers. And to find me, sandrinemarlier.com. That's where you'll find me for coaching session, Reiki session, and also on Instagram, Sandrine Marlier. I share lots of videos, meditation. I actually have right now a 21-day meditation challenge running. It's my joy. I feel like I receive a lot from modeling, and so it's been my joy to be able to share so much on Instagram. I'm sharing some on YouTube, for coaching videos and stuff.
So I want to say once again, yes, that's Sandrine. That's SandrineMarlier.com. So find her website because she is the real deal. I have Odette's alphabet in my hand right now. I'm telling you, the illustrations are beautiful. The story is inspiring, just like the girl who wrote it. And if you need life coaching, if you need Reiki healing, if you need some energy shifting, she can do that too. You really need to reach out to her. And trust me, she will change your game and get you on the right track to where you need to be in life.
Oh, thank you, Brian. You're so sweet.
You're so welcome. I am honored.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my gosh, no, thank you for being here. Obviously, I'm going to have you back so we can do a follow-up. And I have a sneaky suspicion Odette will not be the only, you know, one, the only second book you write. So there, I think there will be a third book coming down the pipe.
Yeah. I think it's all going to be different, and it's okay. I had like stories on the Second World War that I want to put in. It's all about humanity at the end. Like,
yeah.
There's a coherent message. Like, this is who we are. Accept it.
I love that. Yeah. The beautiful.
Well, I love you.
I love you so much. You know that. And you're beautiful outside and in. And I can't wait to have you back on the show. And again, I want to tell people, go to SandrineMarlier.com. Check out all she has going on in her life. Get the book. And if you need a session, please book it with her. Trust me, you will not regret it. Sandrine, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, my dear friend, for having me. It's a pleasure and honor to be here and being able to goof around with you and talk about the low and the highs and the all in between and the cracks.
And all that good, weird stuff.
Yes.
I'm going to have you. Awesome. I'm going to. Yeah, I like that. Say that. Say that in French.
Bizarre.
Doesn't everything sound better in French? I think so. I'm going to ask you to hold on because I want to thank you for doing this show. But for Footsteps in the Attic, this is Brian Hobson for the beautiful Sandrine Marlier. We'll see you next week.